Well, if that music don't stir you, then we need to get an AED for you. That's all I can tell you. Very good. We appreciate Stephen and Cherie very much. Not bad for a good old Louisiana boy and a little girl. Stephen told me he looked for a little bit shorter wife, but he had trouble finding some. She just wanted somebody she could hide behind. If you have your Bibles taken, open them up to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. People always talk about this as the church of coffee, so we'll go ahead and talk about Hebrews as well. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The title of the message is Boldly Enter the Room of Grace and Rest. Boldly Enter the Room of Grace and Rest. You know, Jesus, throughout his ministry, he said, "Come unto me, my burden is light. I will give you my joy, my peace, and my rest." And that is something that we can have, is his rest. When we talk about Christ's rest, he rested in the fact that he knew he belonged to the Father. And that the Father, just as we as human fathers want the best and look after our children, our Heavenly Father so much more looks after you and I. Paul writes in Romans that all of the things are for His glory and honor and to bless those who love Him. As we read where Paul, the Spirit, was inspired, and Paul, of all people, understood what it was to have grace because of his past, and yet God did not hold that against him. He allowed him to be one of the greatest apostles, and for you and I, as we have been studying in Romans, for you and I especially of non-Jewish descent, must be very thankful for Paul because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Without it, you and I might never have heard of the gospel. But God made a way and planned that. Here in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it talks about the promise of rest. And we're going to begin in verse 11, but the first 10 verses is the promise that God made and still remains, that we should have no fear of Him, only of shortcomings. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that fairly quickly, and it goes back to some scriptures where God talked to the Israelite people. And for people to understand, the Israelites were God's chosen people to be examples of all people. And we find, as always, God's word is true, as they do show all humanity. There is times they can be very respectful and obedient, and there's times where they can be, as Jesus termed them, very stiff-necked, and I know none of you would ever be stiff-necked. Occasionally my wife tries to tell me that I'm a little stubborn. I don't know why she feels that way. As long as you're in agreement with me, I have no problem whatsoever. But we do look to them, and through that family of people, the Jewish people, God gives us illustrations of what His expectations is, what our failing, our shortcomings are, and yet He sent His Son that we might be reconciled with Him. And so in that reconciliation, not only did Jesus, when we come to know Him personally, give us the opportunity to be the family of God, the children, the sons and daughters, as God intended for all of His creation to be without sin, but He also give us the power to approach our Heavenly Father through prayer. And while ago in prayer and praise, Miss Joni talked about the power of prayer. And folks, that is the very most powerful tool that our God has given us. And sometimes, you know, we've seen this on a public stage where people say, well, I'm tired of hearing about our thoughts and our prayers. Folks, I got news for you. Without those thoughts and those prayers, number one, I got to have a thought of you in order to pray for you. And without that, our nation and we as a people are sunk. You cannot do anything without God. So what is it about prayer? And oftentimes people say, you know, they'll ask me, said, I'm not sure how to pray. Or we hear, I don't know if God hears my prayers. I'll reassure you from His Word that God hears every single prayer that is made to Him. We may not care for the answer, but He hears every prayer and He answers every prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait and be patient. And I know none of us would ever be a non-patient people, right? We want everything today. That we talked this past week. We have seen the horrificness of the airplane and helicopter crashes and another medevac crashing. And even one of the commentators made the point. He said, you know, everybody is in a big hurry to find out the why. And he said, we're in that society. We expect something immediately. And God is in His own time, but it's always perfect timing. But here in chapter 4, it talks about giving us rest, how we can be confident. So I invite you to hear the last words that the Spirit has given the author of Hebrews here. We know God is the author. As we begin in verse 11, I invite you to stand, if you're able, to honor the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. And it is a discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, for all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You may be seated. Hebrews points out a couple of things here that's very important for you and I and complements with other scriptures. Notice first, he says, therefore, in verse 11, let us be diligent to enter that rest. That's a process, being diligent over time. It's not a one and done. It doesn't come immediately. It is diligently seeking the rest of God. Now, Jesus even tells us that in Matthew. He says, you have not because you ask not. And He tells us, if you ask, then you shall receive. If you knock, it's open. And if you seek, you find. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, Scripture over and over says, seek me and you'll find me. Seek God. And that is being diligent. As a Christian, the more years of Christian, of beginning to study and learning through experience, the more and more I see that I did not know. For a Christian, you and I should never stop learning. If we think we understand all of the Bible, we ain't fooling nobody but ourselves. It is constantly, God, as it says, as he comes here and he proclaims in a couple of verses down, he says that God is living and powerful. There's a reason we call this book the Living Word. Because as you and I mature, just like we do from the human aspect of a child, we learn little bit by little bit, and suddenly we build on that, and more is opened up to us. The same is true with the character of God, our Father. He is our Father in every aspect. He created everything. Jesus, as the Scriptures here show, is our High Priest. He makes intercession for us. There are times when we pray, we don't know what to say or the proper way to say it, but Christ, part of His reconciliation for you and I, and the Holy Spirit as it guides us, is to make that intercession with the Father. Now, in 1 John 4, chapter 4 and verse 6, tells us that God hears every prayer, every single prayer. And when you think about how awesome, in the words of the last song, how great thou art, you realize, you know, sometimes, especially as I'm going down the road and traveling, that's my part of my quiet time. I can pray to the Lord and just talk to Him. And I think about the fact that, you know, here I am and I see all the traffic around me and I see the people in those vehicles and all. If they're praying too for a moment, think about that. How awesome God is, how great He is, what we just sang about. That He not only hears me, but He hears every single prayer that's being given at the same time. Now, if you and I walk in a big room full of people and they're all chattering and talking at the same time, we do good to pay attention to one person, let alone knowing every conversation that's in that room. But yet God does. He hears every prayer. He will answer every prayer. Now, coming to Him in order to know, and people say, well, I'm not sure how I should approach it. Let me put it this way. Jesus gives us an example in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. And if you look that up, what you find is it is the time that Jesus is about to be crucified. He's in the garden and He's praying. And He comes and in the vernacular of their day, in the language of their day, He says, Abba, which is translated to be the most affectionate, the most close, personal relationship with the Father. It is Abba, Father, what they call the most familiar term that is there. Jesus calls Him in that same. Now, Romans 8:15, you say, well, yeah, Jesus was the Son of God, so He could do that. But I'm going to take you to Romans 8:15 for a moment because I want you to read with me a passage of Scripture here that opens that door because of the reconciliation and what Christ did on that cross. In Romans 8:15, He says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In the state of Texas, in a legal matter, in a legal way, if you adopt a child, that child is yours till the day you and or that child die. You cannot get rid of them. Okay? If it's out of your flesh and blood, you actually can go through a court procedure to divorce that kid, or that kid can divorce his parents. But when you adopt them, they're yours for life. Good, bad, indifferent. And you and I have been adopted into the family of the Father because of Jesus Christ. When we come to believe on Him, we get salvation. Yes, that's the gospel. But we get more than salvation. We get everything that Jesus has. He tells us in Scripture that we are joint heirs. So when we come, we get the same Abba, Father that Jesus Christ has, that He came and prayed to her. Throughout all of His ministry, we always find where Jesus, and it talks about and speaks of that, you know, he must be tired, he needs rest. His rest came when he pulled himself away to go into that room, whatever room it was, outdoor, indoor, doesn't matter, wherever yours may be. That room before the Father. He took time to get away from all the hustle and bustle and all the people to be alone with his Father. Just as you and I need to be alone with our Father each and every day. Doesn't mean we can't pray on the spur of the moment because something's going wrong. But we also need that time where we focus and we devote without, you know, phones ringing and TV or the radio blaring or anything else, where we can concentrate on the Father. It's just like when you and I have a serious issue or something we need to discuss with someone. We want that to be in a room or a place in an atmosphere that you and I can focus on what we're being told. We can focus on what we want to say and have the other person hear. Folks, that's all prayer is. It's a conversation with our daddy. A conversation. Maybe you can remember as a small child crawling up in the lap of your father and him bouncing you maybe on your knee. But you could talk to him about anything. You could tell him about what you want to do, you know, your dreams or your desires or anything at all you could tell him about. That's exactly what our Father in heaven is like. Our deepest concerns, our deepest fears, our deepest anything that maybe you want to share with anybody else, you can share with him. One, because he already knows it. We're simply coming and asking for the guidance or direction. Or maybe it's the fact we want to praise him. You gave praises this morning of what he does. Our prayer time should never be just about request. We need to say thank you. We need to praise him for where we see him acting in lives. My brother this morning came in and told me, he says, God is alive and well and he's going to do great things in 2025. Exactly right. He'll do great things in all of our lives. It's whether or not we recognize it and see it. And whether or not we want to participate. You go, whoa, how do I participate? We participate through our prayer life. You see, Jesus entered that place of rest that he promises us here in chapter 4. He would enter that throne room, that place of grace and mercy and rest. It didn't matter about what else was going on. When you come before that throne and you begin to really worship the Lord and you climb up in the lap of Daddy, everything else fades away. You have that personal time. He's focused on you and you're focused on Him. And all the cares, all the problems fade. Now notice also here in verse 16, it says, "Let us come boldly to the throne." If we know Jesus Christ personally, it's not, may I come to your throne. God's already given us that promise. He said in his promises, when you accept my Son, Jesus Christ, you have been reconciled. You are holy. You are righteous. I no longer see any of your sin. See, God the Father always looks through the blood of Christ at you and I. And what he sees is lily white. He sees us not as we are, but what he wants us to be. What he knows we can be through his craftsmanship that he made from the very beginning. We have the authority to come boldly before him and make our request. And sometimes, you know, it's coming before him with no request at all, just to be in his presence, to absorb that rest. He told Paul when he asked for things to be taken away or out of the flesh, he replied to Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient. I want you to think about that prayer room in a different aspect for a moment. Not only is that your war room to wage against sin and against the devil, whether in your life or someone else, and you're waging battle in there for the healings, physical, spiritual, mental, whatever it may be. But that throne room or your prayer room is also a room of grace. It's a room of grace, mercy, because you and I have the bold authority to even be in that room. And lastly, it is also the room of rest. The room where we can relax and know that whatever our problems are, whatever our troubles are, whatever there is for the whole day, it all fades away. It all belongs to Him. You will find that that hour of prayer, that time of prayer, whatever time it may be, whether it's 10 minutes, it's an hour, it's 2 hours, whatever it is, it passes so very quickly. But you'll also feel that you have rested better than any sleep you've ever had. He restores our power. That's why Christ went to Him Himself. Through all of the ministry He did, all of the miracles that He did, it literally, just like you and I working all day and tending to the things that need to be tended to, we get wore down by this world. We get beat up by this world. We get beat up by the devil himself in a lot of different ways. A lot of noise coming in. You ever sometimes just want to sit and hear nothing? Just be at the quiet? Or maybe you have the opportunity, we do here in Atlanta, you get along down there where, you still probably hear traffic, and all, but you can get alongside that river, especially when it's moving and flowing a little bit, and you just hear that soft, gentle movement. That's what it is to be in His presence. Not bombarded, but in His rest. And here He tells us that we have the authority to come boldly into that place. That's why prayer is so powerful. It is the time you and I can communicate with Him diligently and seeking to understand Him. It is also because of the Word that He gives us when we go walk away from that room. We're inspired by the promises and the power that He gives us through His Word. It is written there as we see that His Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. He says it pierces the division of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow and the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. God has never been a God about our mind. He's a God about our heart. For you see, eventually what we believe in our heart comes through our mouth and through our brain of our thoughts, of what we think about. Paul then could say that we should pray all the time. He says, prayer without ceasing. We come to that point where we're so focused on Him in our prayer room time, in our war room time, in our time of grace and rest, that we don't want to leave it, and it lingers with us all day long in every situation. That's why prayer is so very important. We live in a world today, and I see this every day with in working and all, that we've come to emails and we've come to text and we've come to all these different ways of communicating, but there is nothing whatsoever that is better than face-to-face. Because then you get to see their expressions, their body language. You can hear how they inflict into their language and their voice. That's what's important. I don't know how many times a day I see answers in an email and then somebody comes back and said, no, you misunderstood, or maybe I misstated it. That was not my intent or my purpose. See, we miss that part. We also have become a time, as Scripture tells us, that in towards the last days we will see the hearts of men grow cold. You see, it's easy for me to tell you how bad and sorry you are when I shoot you an email or just a text. I don't have to face you then. You don't have to face me. There's no feeling there. It's just words on a page. And I can say anything I want to say. A little different when I have to do it to your face, right? So we've lost the art of personal communication. And we need it. But it's got to start with personal communication with Jesus Christ and our Father. Abba. Abba, the dearest affectionate term that can be used. And if you don't think God loves us that much, that He is our loving Father, He sent His only Son just for me and you. If everybody else had been perfect and you and I were the only ones that were filled full of sin, he'd have sent Jesus to that cross. That's how much he loves us. Then and now. He created you to be the perfection. And we say, well, preacher, I can't be perfect. You're right. I can't either. But because of Jesus Christ, my Father sees me perfect. See, he can blind my wife that she thinks I'm perfect. But he can't blind everybody. But when he views me through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, I'm perfect and so are you. Perfection is achieved. Now, isn't that the daddy you want to crawl up in his lap and talk to him? I told you I don't believe in things happening by chance. I never tell them musicians what songs to sing. They don't tell me what to preach. But I want you to think just for a moment, just in the last little bit, the last two songs they did. I can take it back to the beginning, but we'll just take the last two. One was, I Need Thee Every Hour. Then they rolled from I Need Thee about glory and honor to Him. And they finished up about how great Thou art. Now see, I knew what the message was. I'm sitting back here thinking, Father, thank you. You've set the stage for your word. They had no idea. But see, if they go by the leading of what God shows them, he rolls it all into one for us, his children, to hear. He brings it together that way every day, folks. If we just start looking, we'll see how he rolls those things together. He's constantly at work for mine and your edification, for mine and your good. Look with me at last and we'll close here. Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Jesus says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Mark has it recorded in just, or excuse me, Luke has it recorded in just a little different way. Here he tells us not to doubt. But in Luke 12, 20, 32, in Luke 12, 32, he says the following. Again, Jesus speaking in 12:32. He says the following. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, I read a lot, and there's a whole lot in this book about heaven. And I generally can take my mind, I'm a visual person, and I start visualizing things. But I can read about heaven, and there's a point where I just lose it. I can't comprehend the greatness in my imagination of heaven. But here's a poor old boy that God says, not only is heaven your home, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And I'm not special. He gives you the keys. That key is called Jesus Christ. He is the key to everything we've talked about. He is the key for you crawling up in Daddy's lap and saying, Abba, Father. He's the key for you to be seen white as snow, holy and righteous. He's the key to rest. He's the key to God's grace. He is God's mercy for you and me. Boldly, boldly enter the room of grace and rest. No matter what's going on in your life, and we all have different things happening, you can find rest in the lap, in the presence of the Father. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. It all starts with knowing Jesus Christ personally.